So I was looking at this scripture one day, and just one little phrase caught my eye. You know, the more I look in scripture, you know, sometimes I just run through it, you know, just getting my reading done, and that's it. But sometimes one or two little words will just catch my eye. So in Matthew 5:13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the world." That got me thinking. Salt of the world. What is salt? Why? What does that mean that we are salt? "But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty again? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled on by people." So as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be flavorful. Isn't salt, don't we put salt on our food just to kind of bring out the flavor? You know, we use it in baking to help things bake correctly. If we don't put it in there when we bake, something could go wrong with our baked goods. So salt's really important in our lives. But obviously, if we're to be salt, we're important too. We're supposed to be a flavorful thing for the world to see. Something good to the world. I find it so interesting that God and the scripture uses natural things to bring us into the spiritual things that we need to learn from him. Parables. Jesus spoke in parables all the time. And they were just stories, you know, about what was going on in that time. And yet it brought a spiritual meaning. So salt. There are so many flavors of salt. Have you noticed that? There's Himalayan salt. There's rock salt. I hear Himalayan is supposed to be really good for you. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's all the minerals. Rock salt, table salt, kosher salt. I guess it's been prayed over. I don't know why it's kosher. What other salt is there? Oh, sea salt, right? I'm sure there's thousands of others in many colors, shapes, and forms. If you go to some gourmet places, you just eat, you know, racks of different colors of salts. Very pretty. It's like crystals. But so many flavors. And isn't that about the body, like the body of Christ? There are so many flavors of the body of Christ. There's Samantha. She has a certain flavor to offer the world. There's Jacob. He has a certain flavor to offer the world. Yes, I'm talking about you, Jacob. How about Stephen? He has a certain flavor. I'm not going to be like Stephen. He's not going to be like me. I'm not going to be like Chuck. You know, I used to think, oh, I got to do just what Chuck does. But God said, no, you are your own person. So we each have a flavor to offer this world. God uses our own personalities to bring goodness to this world, to bring flavor to this world, to bring Jesus to this world. The making of salt. One way is evaporation. You know, sea salt is harvested. In fact, I saw something a couple weeks ago on this on TV. I was surprised. They grab a gallon of water out of the sea, and they put it through this thing that purifies the water, and then they let it set out and evaporate. And what comes out of that is sea salt. And it takes a while for that evaporation to happen. Isn't that like God? He takes us, he sifts us, he purifies us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he lays us out to dry so that evaporation will happen, so that flesh can be torn off of us, can be out of us, and what comes out is a wonderful flavor of Jesus, that wonderful flavor of salt, that wonderful flavor. Some salt is mined. It's chipped away at. Whew. Do you like that when God starts doing that? Chipping away at that flesh. That's not much fun, is it? We don't like that. It's uncomfortable. But what comes out of that is pure salt, purity of Jesus. Some is strained. In the ancient world, most salt came from marshes. And so they got it out of that dirty marsh, and it had to be strained. And that water that was left was a little salty, but it wasn't used for anything. It wasn't any good. But what came out of that strained water was salt that was used. Salt was filled with impurities. But because it was soluble, it could be strained out and usable. Sometimes I need to be strained out a little bit. I get kind of in my old ways. God said, hey, wait a minute. We need to strain you a little bit so we get some purity coming here. So Jesus shines forth, not that dirty, unusable water caused by the flesh. I see that way the ancient people did the salt is kind of like us, you know. It's just kind of like us because of the impurities that we have within us. And, you know, God is such a gracious God that he doesn't just all of a sudden get rid of everything all at once. It's little by little. We grow little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, if I compare myself with someone that I think is a giant in the kingdom of God, I'm going to feel really bad because I can't match up to where they are. But that's not how God is with us. He has a relationship with each one of us. And each one of us, he takes particular care on when he strains us, when he purifies us, when he gets us to the next point. So comparing ourselves with one another is not such a good idea. But comparing ourselves with Jesus is a great idea. I want to be more like Jesus. And if he pinpoints something in my heart that needs to be, that's impure and ungodly, I want him to take that out. I want him to chip away at it and get it out of there so those impurities no longer are in there. In Leviticus 2, it speaks about the sacrifices of the Lord had to be salted. Isn't that interesting that even back then, God talks about salt? So the sacrifices that were given unto the Lord had to be flavored with salt. They couldn't just be plain. They had to be flavored with salt. In Chronicles, it talks about God made a salt covenant with David. That's kind of weird, isn't it? What is a salt covenant? I have no idea, but it had to do with salt. So salt is very important in the Word. Salt is pure. God's covenant with us is pure. Salt stays pure as a chemical compound. Doesn't break down. It is enduring. You know, God's covenant with us is enduring. It is valuable. You know, salt was very expensive at one time. And some of those special salts are kind of expensive today. But, you know, table salt is what? 40 cents a big old box? Used to not be that way. In fact, it used to be that the Romans would be paid their wages in salt. That's how expensive it was and how rare it was. Luke 14:34, let's look at that. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land, nor yet for the dunghills, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, before this, I believe it's here, it was talking about discipleship. So if we've lost our flavor, if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit working in us, we don't have much flavor to give to the world. We don't have much flavor to give to our friends that are unsaved or to that Muslim person out there that's searching for Jesus. If we don't have salt, the Jesus in us, if it's become dull, what do we have to offer the world? We don't. It's unusable. Let's not lose our flavor. Let's think about this for a moment. Salt is depicted as purity, preservation, and expensive. We need to be pure, enduring, and valuable. People need to see us as enduring, pure, and valuable. What is that within you? I was working at a place one time, and it was a Japanese company, and there was me and one other person there that I knew was a Christian. I don't know about the other people that were there, but obviously the president of the company saw something in us. And he brought me in one time, and he said, what is that about you? There is something different about you. What is it? He said, you're just always at peace, no matter what. You don't get frustrated. What's the deal? And God just opened that door for me to talk to him about Jesus. And I said, you know, that peace is the peace of God. I get that peace from Jesus. And so went on and talked to him some more about it. He said, it's so interesting. I said, you ought to try it sometime. I don't know if he ever did or not. I left that job, never saw him again. But I just thought that was interesting that just in our daily lives, people can see Jesus in us if we are salty enough. You know, you can have too much salt. I don't like things too salty because what does it do to you? I'll tell you what it does to me. It blows me up. My ankles get swollen. My hands hurt. I gain weight. So, you know, we don't want to be extremely salty to where we get religious and people of the world see that and say, I don't want any of that stuff. No, we need to be just right. Just right. Right where God wants us. So how do we lose our saltiness? Well, Galatians 5:19 talks about the works of the flesh. This is what the world reflects and offers to others, the works of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. We lose saltiness through corruption, assimilation, which is resembling a group. So when you go out and have fun with your friends, are you resembling that group? Are you resembling Jesus? Sometimes it's hard to resemble Jesus when you're wanting to go along with the group, right? So what are they saying? Oh, yeah, he goes to church on Sunday, but, you know, Saturday night, we were out there doing our thing. That's being unusable salt. Unusable salt. We need to resemble the group of Jesus. Resemble the group of Christians. Not letting the flesh take over and appearing like an unbeliever. And that's hard to do today. You know, things are not black and white anymore. They're really gray. It's hard sometimes to stay out of the gray zone. Get out of the gray matter and into the light. Jesus goes on to say in Luke that salt has lost its flavor and it's not good for land or dunghill. If we've lost our salt, we're not good for anything. We just might as well hang it up. Actually, what we need to do is just repent and get salty again. How can its flavor be restored? Unlike leftover diluted salt that can't be restored, it's unusable, we have a way to restore it and to be flavorful. You know, have you ever put salt in a glass of water, you know, maybe to gargle with or something, and it dissolves? But, you know, the more it sits, the more water you put in, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and it's not good for anything. It's not good to drink. It's not good. Just pour it out. It's no good. I don't want that. I don't want the world to be watering me so much that I'm not useful. But unlike undiluted salt or diluted salt, the unusable salt, we have a way out. We can come to repentance and cry for grace and mercy. You know, if we backslid, if we're having trouble with one area of our life, and I don't know, one single person doesn't have one little thing they're dealing with in their life, you know, some stronghold or some habit that you just, God, why can't I get rid of this? You know, why can't I stop doing this? I just keep doing that same thing over and I don't want to. Well, God's grace and mercy is there to help us through that. God's grace and mercy is there. If we'll call out to him, he'll help us. He'll show us how. That voice inside we need to listen to, and it says, stop, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Don't have that chocolate cake. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's bad for you. Don't do it. Listen to that little voice inside. Oh, I'm so tempted to smoke today. Don't do it. It's bad for you. You've already been delivered of that. Don't go back to that. Or how about those things that have been buried in baptism and that old man starts coming up and we'd rather listen to the old man because we think that's going to be fun. But, you know, there's consequences to everything we do, good or bad. Consequences in everything we do. We want to leave that guy buried. He is buried. He's dead. We don't want to resurrect that guy. We want to live as Christians. We want to live in God's mercy and grace. We have power to stay salty. You know, you have the power. Is it when they're a commercial, you have the power? We have the power to stay salty. We are in a battle. You know, we are in a battle. We can make a choice to let others comfort our flesh, to let the comforts of flesh come, or we can stand up and be strong warriors for God. 2 Corinthians 10:14. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. We can pull down those strongholds with the help of Jesus. You have something in your life you're dealing with? Pull it down. We have the weapon. Casting down imaginations. You know, imaginations are really a strong thing. A strong thing. You have to cast down. You cast down those imaginations. Nobody else is going to cast them down. And how do those imaginations come? Well, we've read something. We've looked at something. We've thought about something. You know, Jesus said about adultery that even if you look on somebody and think about adultery, you are committing adultery. That's pretty powerful. I mean, that's stronger than the law. That's pretty powerful. So imaginations begin with our eyes, what we see, what we hear, sometimes what we smell. Depends what that imagination is. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's not saying, God, do this for me. No, it's saying, you do this. You cast down those imaginations. You cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There is a warfare going on right here in this mind. There is a warfare going on right here. If you're trying to eat better, be healthy, there's a warfare going on. Y'all feel that sometimes when you're trying to eat healthy? Or if you're going to go exercise, there's a warfare going on. Those are simple things. Those are things for ourselves. What about going out to maybe witness to your friend? Oh, I don't know. They just, you know, my mind starts thinking, no, they're going to think I'm bad, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk in front of people. All those vain imaginations come. Instead of just following what the Holy Spirit says, we need to capture those thoughts. Sometimes I have to just tell myself, will you just be quiet? Soul, be quiet. You know, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. When he was down and out, and, you know, you read the Psalms, he was depressed sometimes, it sounds like. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We have to tell ourselves and remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We must capture our thoughts. We need to think it, imagine it, and do it, good or bad. Think it, imagine it, do it, good or bad. I think some of those people that, I forget what kind of people they're called, they're go-getters, you know, they try to get you to do everything really pumped up and stuff, and they always say, you got to think it first. Think that you're going to do it, and then you do it. Well, there's a little something to that. You know, think it, imagine it, and do it. I think I'm going to go talk to them about the Lord. I'm going to go, and I'm going to do it. Oh, hold on. Salt is only useful when it has the nature of salt. Do you have the nature of Jesus in you? Is that what's coming forth, the nature of Jesus or the nature of flesh? Salt only is useful when it has the nature of salt. When we're Christians, we are only useful in the world when we display the nature of Christ. it looks like, it tastes like, it smells like salt, it must be salt. If we look like, we sound like, we act like Jesus, you must be a Christian. The fruits of the Spirit, love permeating, love being the motivation for everything we do, that's Jesus. And the world needs that. The world needs you to demonstrate Jesus to them. The world needs love. The world needs it. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we wouldn't present a steak to somebody that's not tasty. We wouldn't present a steak that's been putrefied. Remember, the Israelites had to put salt on their sacrifices. They had to flavor their sacrifices. Our sacrifice to God needs to be flavored. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We should be doing this naturally every day. It should be a habit. You know, it takes about, what did I hear, about 10 days of doing something the same way for 10 days, that habit becomes a part of you. You know, you have a trouble praying for an hour, start every day, a little bit every day, increase a little bit every day, make it part of your life, and pretty soon you're just doing it. It's just part of you. It's not something that's hard, it's just part of you. It's your reasonable service. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, losing our Christ-like flavor, our saltiness, but be transformed by the renewing of this mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do you renew your mind? Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The International Standard Version says, the night is almost over, and the day is near. Let's therefore put aside the action of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put off the action of darkness. I thought that was really good. Let's behave decently as people who live in the light of day. No wild parties, drunkenness, sexual immorality, promiscuity, quarreling, or jealousy. Whew. Instead, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and do not obey your flesh and its desires. So what are we talking about here today? We're talking about our flesh, and we're talking about putting our flesh down and living a Christ-like life, that the world can partake of that and taste of that. Okay. Salt's been used for so many things in the natural and throughout history. As I said before, it was used as wages because it was so expensive to get. It's used for seasoning. We are to be the salt, the seasoning of the world. We're to be the seasoning of the world, not the world the seasoning. We're to be the seasoning of the world. For healing, you know, salt is used for healing a lot. We are to be the salt of the world to bring healing through Jesus Christ to the world. Bring the healing of Jesus Christ to the world. You know somebody sick? You know somebody that needs prayer? Just tell them, I'm going to be praying for you that Jesus will heal you. Yesterday or the day before, I saw this lady, and she has a tumor in between her heart and her lung and can't be operated on right now. I looked at her and said, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you, for your situation. And I believe God's going to touch her. And we're going to start praying for that lady on Wednesday nights. And I believe God's going to do a miracle for that lady. That salt of healing. Salt brings purification. We are to be the salt of the world to bring purity through Jesus to a corrupt world. You know, salt and light is interchangeable in the Bible. And if you go into a dark place and you are the light, it's going to be really bright in there. And it's going to shine on that darkness. Right? And that's a good thing for us. We shouldn't run because we're scared, but no, we have the power of Jesus Christ within us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And if God calls you to go into a dark place to be that light, He's going to equip you to be that light in that dark place. to bring forth the light of the world, to bring forth Jesus. It improves crops. Have you ever had a garden and put Epsom salt in the soil or mixed a solution and sprayed it on the flowers so the flowers wouldn't die? There's something with that salt. We are to be the salt of the world, to make the world better. Our crop needs to be a great crop for people to take of that fruit and say, hey, I want some of that. Let me have some of that patience you have. Let me have some of that love you have. Where'd you get that? There's that door we can open up, opens wide, and we can tell them about Jesus. Well, it's not me, it's Jesus that works through me. It is used as food preservation. We're to be the salt of the world, to preserve what is good and righteous. To preserve what is good and righteous. Man, we have a big job today in this world. Righteousness is kind of gone out the window, don't you think, when you listen to the news and politics and just everything in the world, all the shootings, all the bad things that are going on. I mean, that's basically all you get on the news is bad news. There's no righteousness. You very seldom hear good. Good. But we need to bring good and righteousness to this world. That is the flavor we need to bring to the world. It was used for currency. We are the salt of the world to show the world the riches of Jesus Christ and the richness of his being his disciple. People ought to look at us and say, hey, I want to be like you, Samantha. What do you got in you? I want that. How come you're so happy? How come you're so joyful? How come you can do all that stuff and still not be tainted by the world? And you can just say, hey, I'll tell you, it's Jesus in me. It's Jesus in me. I want to share that with you. I have a friend who always signs her posts and letters, stay salty. I thought that was so clever. Stay salty. So I say to you today, stay salty. Don't let seductions and lust of this world take away the flavor of Christ within you. Stay salty. Don't let stresses of life defeat you and make you want to give up. Stay salty. Don't let your mind wander off the Word of God, forgetting who you are in Christ. Stay salty, not forgetting what Jesus has done for you, which allows the enemy to come in and try to deter you. Stay salty. We are the salt of the earth. It is our responsibility to stay salty. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the world. You are the salt of the world. I'm going to challenge you this week to find one person to be a blessing to, one person to be that flavor of Jesus to them, one person. This week, ask the Lord to give you one person to share the good news of Jesus with them, to be that flavor of salt to them, to share the fruit of the Spirit with them, to show them the love of Christ. One person. I challenge you to ask the Lord to give you one person this week. Stay salty. Stay salty. Amen. Amen.